Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrestle-On.
Tony and Joe, you are ordered to do something, but I don't remember what.
Talking about the Space Pirates, which is the sixth serial of the sixth season of Doctor Who.
And it was six episodes, so it's 666.
It is. It's a lot of sixes. Six episodes that aired from March 8th, 1969 to April 12th, 1969.
Which is in the 60s.
There's too many sixes. This podcast is cursed. Five of those are missing, which is not a six. It's only five. One of them exists, which is great. Episode two.
Five plus one is six, though.
Ah, shit. We're just going to have to call this whole thing off. but the plus side is this is the last of the missing serials. So hooray.
Hooray!
True facts!
Speaking of hooray, it's Ray. Ray Friesen is here.
Hi. I was supposed to be on a different one, but then I did this one instead.
You're supposed to be on both. You just missed one. So you're good.
You mentioned me in your podcast a lot. I'll be like listening to it. And I'm like, oh, Ray Friesen would think that was great. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm included in this. This isn't just a show that I listen to. This is a show I'm a part of.
We were recording with Chris once, and he was like, halfway through it, he was like, oh right, I'm in this. I listen to it so often, I forgot that I'm a part of it right now.
He forgot he was in the show.
But you have a child.
Which is why I'm harder to pin down. My wife was like, gonna be on the show. She found out a couple days ago that I was gonna be on your podcast. And she's like, oh, I wanna do it too. I'm like, okay, here, watch these episodes. And she's like, well, I don't wanna do that. So, you guys will have to have her as a guest on an episode all by herself later, where she can watch some good ones and be all cool.
Let's give her one that exists, which
will be easy
will
now.
Be easy now, because you were on our first
missing serial,
Marco Polo.
I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it. Well, I chose Marco Polo because I was watching Netflix's Marco Polo at the time. I chose this one because pirates that are in space.
Even though pirates are not as big a part of it.
If you had said we're doing space pirates, I wouldn't have expected this to be what they would have come up with.
It's more like a space cowboy, really. We'll get to that, but
like their outfits do not scream space pirate.
But what I was saying though is you currently have a child residing on top of you, correct?
Currently have a child residing on top of me. I just currently have a child and will continue to do so for quite some time. Those of you in podcast land, I have a baby asleep on my chest because I had to bring him to the ER in the wee hours this morning. He's only just starting to talk and he's lost his voice because of this cough, or he's like trying to tell us stuff but he can't. It was about the saddest thing ever. And we're trying to like be in touch with him and we ask, how are you feeling? And he just goes, sad, and then coughs a whole bunch. Plus, he won't drink any water. He's dehydrated, and his throat is sore, and so, like, we have to, like, get the little baby syringe and shoot water down his throat. Not with a needle, just the little plunger. We're, like, shooting it at him. He's like, I don't want this.
That's very sad. I hope he gets to feeling better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he might start crying during the middle of the podcast because he's asleep on my desk.
Everybody on this podcast is dying.
We're going to play a lovely game called Who's Coughing, Tony or Welly? And any viewer who correctly writes all the answers and sends it in and scored correctly will get a free hoverboat, courtesy of Joseph QE.
Oh, I'm so glad my middle name's not Q.
Yeah, it is. I had your documents changed. All right, let's bang this podcast out. I got stuff to do. First things first, music is weird.
Just in general or in this specifically?
It just hits you. That's the first scene is the music going, oh! And then you go, okay, something's happening.
It reminds me a bit of the Gunfighters with its musical weirdness. Just someone screaming. We're in episode one, which I have titled Cold Porridge, for reasons that will become apparent later. This episode is missing. And then we get some weird ships, one of which looks like K-9 floating in space.
There's a nice little model since someone had a lot of fun building.
I read a thing on some Wikipedia, it was either that or the TARDIS thing, TARDIS Wikia, saying they must have known some stuff about space and blah blah blah, because you wouldn't see a whole lot of stars. It would just be the blackness of space and blah blah blah. I was like, I'm pretty sure they didn't know and they were just not putting stars on because it's cheaper.
I think if you consult with anybody involved in television or film production, going with what looks cool is better than going with what's accurate.
I think in the case of this early era of Doctor Who, it's going with whatever is cheaper.
What can we actually do?
Like these days, it's like, hey, we're in space, so just throw a bunch of nebulas up there. And it's not really how space is.
But it looks cool. A lot of purple in space.
I feel like this episode tried pretty hard to be accurate, despite all of its, like, making stuff up. Like, the pirates weren't, like, piratey in a way that pirates usually are on film. It was, like, naval people trying to enforce their naval things. Like, it felt like a historical drama, almost. Because it was not piratey.
And the pirates, like I said, the pirates are barely in it. It's more the Milo, who comes in episode
Milo!
Two.
Milo!
My alternate title for this whole series is just a Milo Clarence adventure, in which the Doctor is also in a slightly amount. Because it is. This is like the stealth pilot for the Milo Clarence TV show.
Clancy.
Milo Clancy? I don't care. I'm tired.
But the space pirates, Tony really likes their costumes.
I do like their costumes.
They're very trash canny.
They're like military. They're like cool, and they're probably closer to what space pirates might actually look like because they seemed like functional. They weren't just like swords and sashes, but with robot boots and space hats. Like they weren't like if you go to a costume designer and say, "Design me some space pirates," they're gonna like rub their hands together and go, "Oh yeah, this is my costume designer time to shine." This guy was like. Yeah, you know, helmets.
I'm going to design some real, functional, practical space pirates. If a pirate were to live in space, then probably what they'd dress like.
They went for realism.
Again, yeah, it felt like a historical thing of like, no, that's what the space pirates look like, because it was practical.
The space pirates dock onto another ship, mess around for a little while attaching things, and it takes forever.
That first episode could have been 2 minutes long. We didn't need all that exposition.
Then they fly away, and then the ship that they were on explodes, and then the title shows up. Like, I don't think there's ever been such a late title. Usually it's like the episode starts immediately with the title. This one came in way, way late.
That's some time to kill, I think.
Are you eating cookies right now?
I am. I'm not talking while eating.
Can you fax me some cookies?
I'll transmit you some.
I think I was eating cookies on our last podcast and you wanted some. So is this your revenge, Joe?
This is. And now you're trapped underneath a child, so you can't get cookies.
That's standard. He eats all my cookies now.
We find out what the space pirate's mission is, which is to get Argonite, which is what the ship they blew up was made out of. And it's like the best mineral ever.
Yeah, those guys are like raving on and on about Argonite. And then the other guy says, yeah, my ship's not made out of Argonite. It's made out of Tillium. Like, there's a lot of lecturing about non-existent minerals. So it's like a weird, completely useless science lesson.
It's the best, but also very rare.
But they make entire ships out of it.
Like, I feel like you wouldn't make ships out of this really expensive thing. It's like, look at my solid platinum ship. Okay, are you sure? You couldn't use cardboard.
It's like the adamantium of the Doctor Who universe.
Has it ever come back? It should.
I think it might have. Maybe not in the show itself, but maybe in, you know, expanded stuff.
The spin-off people love to reference like, some kind of thing. The show, not so much. I want to see Tillium come back. That should be like the name of a sassy robot who's made out of Tillium.
You excited, Tony?
A sassy robot?
I know her buttons.
Tell me more.
Everyone knows your buttons.
Is the Doctor even in the first one?
Barely.
He wasn't in the studio for the whole filming of this episode, right? Their bits were filmed later differently, and so the studio was just filled with space pirates and space navy.
They're in it very little, but they did film stuff, but it was episode 6 that they weren't there. They didn't film on at all.
Was it another, like, they were taking vacations all over the place? These guys seem to take a lot of vacations.
I think they were actually filming the next serial when they did episode 6. They were filming the War Games. There was pre-filmed film inserts. That was the only thing that they did in episode 6. Like, they weren't there for the main part of the filming. They had pre-filmed all their stuff because they were busy filming another thing.
Back to work.
So there's these other guys that show up who are sort of like space cops.
They're like the space navy, and their outfits are actually like less practical. They have lots of interlocking squares all over them for no reason.
You say squares, I say diamonds.
Diamonds are squares that defy gravity.
One of them is sort of the leader who always makes the wrong decision, but does it confidently.
Yeah, he's a pretty crappy general. They say something like that, like, oh, you're such a good general. And he's like, yeah, I know, but all of his decisions are wrong.
Generally, that character is, like, sort of semi-evil and like, I must do the thing, but this guy's just, like, just incompetent.
He's just not good at his job.
He's, like, berating people for not being able to do stuff like, you didn't catch the thing because the other guy's ship was faster, so I couldn't outrun him, and he'll be like, you fool! Why wasn't your ship faster?
And then his second in command is way smarter. And also looks like Michael Cera.
Was he named Ian? Because that got a little confusing.
He was named Ian.
There's like quite a lot of names you haven't used yet, including like made up ones. So to use the name of a major character not that long after he was a major character seems like a bad move.
I got really excited just hearing the name Ian.
She was like, they're probably related. And I was like, that's not how names work.
Yeah, but then I told you that my name's Antoinette and my great-great-aunt's name is Antoinette.
Also, Joe, that is how it works. He's probably Ian's descendant.
I was telling you, you're named after somebody.
I'm named after my grandpa.
So that's totally how names work.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. If you say so. If you say so. But his last name wasn't Chesterton. Or at least I don't think it was.
That's not how last names work, Joe.
That's not how last names work.
All right. Not anyway.
Necessarily.
Let's conclude that he's Ian's great-great-great-great-grandson. I will write some spin-off novel about it later. Except for the fact that I'm not sure if these guys were humans. They were, like, in a different galaxy doing different galaxy things. They weren't from Earth. They were from home planet, which seemed like an oversight.
We've definitely had humans that sort of left Earth and went to other planets, so they could still be, like, human-descended. But who knows?
We don't. We certainly don't.
So they see a ship, and they think it might be pirates, and then when it blows up, they're like, I guess it definitely is pirates.
Ships don't blow up for any other reason.
And so they they're blowing up these beacons, which I'm not entirely certain what the beacons do.
I think they like help with navigation on long distances. That kind of sounded like it made sense, like a big signal relay or something.
And they've got like emergency rations and stuff. If you're like floating in space, you can get some food and stuff there.
Right, because they think they might be doing that instead of, you know, blowing it up. But they're not, they're just blowing it up. There's like four remaining beacons, and they're going to, I think there's four, maybe, I don't know, I might be making that number up.
There were six, Joe. Think about it. The number six.
There's some other beacons, and they're going to arm them up, put some people on it, because they're generally unmanned, but they're going to put some people on it because these pirates are blowing them up.
Like, they spend way too long talking about these beacons.
They put some people on one of the beacons, Alpha 4, and that's where the TARDIS arrives. And they're like, it's empty. And Jamie's like, well, then let's leave. And Zoe's like, no, I want to explore. Because that's their dynamic now. And then they get shot at. Even though the doctor's like, it's unmanned. There's nobody here. And then they immediately get shot at. Because the doctor is always wrong. He's much like the general of the Navy, Space Navy.
The more in charge you are, the more wrong you are. We all know that.
I'm sort of the lead of this podcast. And I get everything wrong.
That's true.
And you're the co-lead.
There's a famous line from something or other. And I abide by it. The captain doesn't have to be right. The captain has to be definite.
That sums up that one character. Because he's always very, like, sure of himself.
He's pompous. He's very, like, commanding. He's very dry.
Yeah, he's not, like, over the top like a lot of these type of characters are, though. Just sort of there, for the most part. Just being wrong.
He could have been more something, but he wasn't. Plus, they all should have had hats.
Though I liked Michael Cera's hair. Or Ian, rather. He had a nice haircut going on.
One of them had like a weird mustache. I don't think you're allowed to have a mustache in space unless you're a pirate.
Oh yeah, he's the, you're talking about the command, the guy like manning the like radar thing.
I don't even know if it was this episode, but they came on like the transmission thing and they're doing a Skype. And they're suddenly just on an old black and white television like my grandma had in her house. And I'm like, I'm sure that looks cutting edge and like the sort of thing you put on a spaceship in the 60s. But from today's perspective, it just looks like, oh, they're watching a dumb TV show. Is how my grandma would receive a secret transmission from people staring directly into the camera.
Everybody on Doctor Who communicates visually. There's no just audio only. It's all like,
it's all Skype all the time.
All Skype all the time. And just about as shitty as Skype. So anyway, the doctor and Jamie and Zoe are getting shot at by the people that have been left to man, to look out for pirates. So they think that Jamie and them are pirates. And then actual pirates show up.
They're super murdery.
Everybody's very confused and no one knows who the Team TARDIS is. And everybody's trying to get Team TARDIS and shoot them all.
Which usually Team TARDIS is surprisingly trusted whenever they show up somewhere. So to have people just go, oh, they're probably the pirates. Let's get them. And then the bit that they were on exploded and spun away. And they're like, yeah, there's no oxygen leaks. It's fine. The spaceship we were in just exploded into six pieces. So I'm sure there'll be no problem.
They get locked in a room and they're trying to open the door. This is before it explodes. And Zoe's trying to open the door. And Jamie says the weirdest damn thing I've ever heard. Which he's like, oh, let me do it. You don't eat enough porridge. Or you haven't been eating enough porridge. What does that mean?
Well, the doctor rations porridge on the TARDIS. Porridge is an even rarer element than Argonite in this galaxy.
My theory was that he was about to say something sexist and then thought better of it. Yeah. I like to imagine that Zoe took him aside. Zoe, being from the future, took him aside and was like, look,
you gotta stop saying that shit.
You gotta knock this off.
Well, So that's an ongoing problem. Probably for, like, the 60s was fine, but for the 70s onward would be like, why? Why are you spending time on this instead of on space pirates? There's no sword fights in your thing about space pirates. There's no treasure in your thing about space pirates.
Well, there's Argonite. Argonite's a type of treasure.
Yeah, the boringest kind. Not even in a chest. There aren't any maps or parrots or skulls.
They do have to blow stuff up to get it, which is fun.
Like, essentially, they're very, like, dangerous recyclers.
I mean, except that they're recycling parts that are still in use.
Yeah, they're like pirate planners. We're gonna blow up cars and then sell them for scrap. It's like, just, there's gotta be a better way to make money off of this, right?
They blow it up and then, like, put, like, they've put, like, rockets on all the pieces to, like, ship it off to where they're going to, like, push it in that direction. But why not just take it all there in one piece? Wouldn't that be easier?
They would have only needed one rocket.
That's actually a pretty good point.
What's the point of blowing it up? I don't understand.
Drama.
Because, yeah, it explodes and there's drama. And then we're at the end of episode one, and we're now into episode two, which I've called Pirates and Cowboys. And it's, yes, this one exists. And I'm so glad, because we get introduced to the best character in this one.
When Joe signed me up for this this episode, he's like, okay, Ray, there's a character. Let me know when you spot him.
It's hard to miss. So, the first scene is the two Navy guys, Michael Cera and the captain, talking, and they are drinking coffee that they made themselves.
Wait, is that a weird reoccurring fetish that coffee gets made? Like Robert Holmes and coffee?
It's Kit Peddler and coffee, because if this was a Kit Peddler episode, a woman would be making the coffee, because that is the woman's job. So I was confused when there were men making coffee.
I was like, this was new!
I don't understand. How do they know?
How do they know how to make it? Who taught them?
Basically, that whole scene is Ian wants to find the pirate space, but I was more just concerned about the coffee.
There's a lot of, like, space flight traffic control, where it's like, your ship's not supposed to be here. I'd have it on a list on my chart if your ship was supposed to be here. So you're a pirate. Like, there's a lot of space. Go wherever you want.
That's Milo's position.
He should run for mayor on that platform. Space mayor. I vote for him. I want to see his spin-off show, Space Cowboy Pirates. Come on, you guys. BBC is not too late.
Or Big Finish.
Yeah, Big Finish. Hire me to write the Milo Clancy spin-off. I'll hook you up.
And then we see the Team TARDIS sort of who have fallen down and are not getting up. And Zoe is in a position where she's showing a lot of leg. Why? They keep doing that with Zoe, putting her in positions where she's showing off her assets. And this is one of those examples. Like, there's no reason for her leg to be all the way up there.
I was gonna say, was it like up?
It was like on there was like a two levels. And they were on the bottom level, and her leg was up on the second level.
I remember there was a time, though, like, the scene started, and we couldn't figure out if it was Zoe's or if it was
Jamie's.
I was usually watching these episodes while drawing, so I missed a lot of this visual stuff.
You missed some legs.
I like to see more of Jamie's legs. He's got a kilt on, man. Everybody loves kilt.
They both have good legs, so that's why we were not certain.
We weren't certain.
You know what look I like is, like, at the BAFTAs where the Scottish guys have, like, tuxedo top, kilt bottom. Like, that's the best look ever.
I think you could pull that look off.
Totes.
And I think you should do it.
My next award ceremony.
Or just next time you go out in public.
No. I'm more of a sweatpants man.
But you gotta take pictures whenever you do.
When I wear sweatpants?
No. Well, if you want to, I'm not discerning.
No, I'm gonna do the kilt tuxedo at my next award ceremony. I have been to award ceremonies, and I will be to further ones. And it's fun to get all dolled up.
You deserve awards, sir.
I haven't won any.
Well, win one.
Well, do that. Get on that.
I guess I technically won one, but it was one of the ones where they give you a paper certificate later instead of a statue at the dinner. My first year of cartooning professionally, I got nominated for a major award, and nothing since.
I don't think I've ever won an award.
You've got laurels.
I've got laurels. Laurels aplenty.
Any Hardys?
Yeah, we have a Hardys.
We're called Carl's Juniors. We're correct. We do everything correctly.
Carl's the Junior?
I've lost the thread of this conversation.
Okay, so Navy guys see another ship on their scanner. We go inside the ship, and there's nobody in it.
They pull Milo over and ask to see his space driver's license. And he says, you guys are profiling against cowboys.
And well, there's nobody in the room, and then an egg falls down a chute.
The setup of this egg was kind of great. Like, the setup of Milo's spaceship is great.
He has, like, a little TV dinner, right? And a little tray that snaps onto his chair.
Yeah. Yes. He comes in and he's singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which I'm sure it would be a rights issue if they ever put this on DVD, because it's not on DVD because it's missing. He gets mad at his space toaster because it burnt his toast.
His space toast.
And he's like, gosh darn, solar toasters?
His accent is great. I don't exactly know what it's supposed to be.
It's like Western British Jimmy Stewart. All three smashed into the same person.
I feel like you do some more. You need to do some more to give the people...
Gosh darn space toasters. I don't know. It's very... but I don't know. You darn whippersnappers.
Well, I could tell you that, General. I could tell you all about the part, but I'd rather talk in circles around you and make you feel embarrassed. Which he shows up these Space Navy people at every turn. His spaceship is like a pile of crap, and theirs are all shiny, and he... is faster than them, and he evades their security, and he gets away from their thing, and he's like, you guys need to hire him to be in charge of your space navy. He like Space MacGyver, because he's like doing with duct tape and copper pins what you're doing with an entire battle fleet.
The space pirates costume is like, what if space pirates were real? This is what it would look like. This guy's just a straight up cowboy.
Plaid shirt. Well, plaid is what you wear when you have shit to do. I've been building a house for a year, and I know for a fact that you gotta put on plaid if you're going to use tools.
He also has the best mustache.
He does. It's like a big old walrus mustache.
He really needs a sassy robot friend. He's just all alone in space.
Yeah.
Be a toaster.
Like a really shitty robot that barely works. And he smacks it with his wrench a couple times just to get it working.
Oh my god.
Get to work, you.
Oh, and the robot would have a hat, like a cowboy pirate hat. Big finish, call me.
Speaking of smacking things with a wrench, he literally does that to fix his ship. Like, the lights are flickering, and he just bangs on the wall like he's the Fonz.
I love future tech. That's a piece of shit. That's one of my favorite, like, tropes. I'm like, it's the future and everything's great, but the thing you probably have is shitty.
Just like now.
Yeah, like, your cell phone's probably a piece of shit. It's amazing, it's a computer that fits into your pocket, but it's a piece of shit and you hate it.
With more computing power than NASA used to land on the moon. And Tetris.
The Navy calls up...
It's not the newest one, so fuck it.
My phone is mostly a Wellington watches YouTube videos of dancing cats, and he's gotten chocolate into various orifices on the phone, so it doesn't actually really work as a phone. Like, people will call me and I can't really hear them.
I wish I had a baby as an excuse for why my phone's covered in chocolate. That's just on me.
I'm slightly disturbed by phone orifices.
What do you call it when there's like a thing on your phone and your stuff? Like a phone hole.
That might be worse. I don't know.
A phone butt.
Phone wound.
A phone wound? Ugh.
Well, it's not a wound. It's there on purpose. It's like a phone nose or phone ears. Or like a hole you're supposed to have.
It is late.
This is the best show we've ever done.
So anyway, the captain is trying to like interrogate Milo. And it basically comes down to like, are you a pilot? And Milo's like, no. And he's like, are you sure? Hoping that Milo will go, you found me. Here's my pirate paraphernalia. Please clap me in irons. But he lets Milo go because Milo's like, I got stuff to do. Shut up, General. And then the General is watching him later and he's like, okay, we let him go. If he turns left, he's a pirate and we gotta arrest him. And it's like, if you have that flimsy, like, you're not gonna put him on trial in a court where you have to present, like, all of your piracy evidence. You could just blow him up and be like, well, we thought he was a pirate. I'm the Space Navy. Like, his plan is really stupid.
Yeah, but if he went with that plan, we wouldn't have Milo.
I'm not glad that he didn't go with that plan, but, like, really, his thing for, like, here's how we'll tell if Milo is the mastermind of these pirates was, like, if he turns left, he's a pirate. It's really stupid.
In the middle of all this, we cut to a scene that I want to talk about where the doctor wakes up and they're all passed out and the doctor wakes up and he's like, Jamie, and he literally reaches over Zoe and shakes Jamie. He's like, Jamie, and then gets up and gets an oxygen tank. But at no point did he say Zoe.
Well, I think he actually shook Zoe and said Jamie.
No, he didn't. He just shook. I just did the gifts for it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He just bypasses Zoe and goes straight for Jamie, and that's it. That's all he cares about. Making sure his boyfriend's okay.
Zoe's also here.
But then after the scene where the whole is he or is he not a pirate?
Because they're confused, because he's a prospector, so how can a prospector be a pirate? He's obviously a cowboy. There can't be two kinds of things.
And he's also like, I've been reporting pirate attacks like a dozen times. And he's like, my Argonite stuff's been stolen by him.
He runs the Argonite mine.
And they think that he's just saying that as a cover-up for him being a pirate.
Pirates usually don't submit fraudulent paperwork.
But then we get back to the doctor and everything, which we have a weird time jump. We don't see them wake up at all, which is weird. We usually see absolutely everything, but now they're just suddenly, they're up and about, all of them.
In this room that has light and gravity and oxygen, despite the fact it's a chunk of an exploded spaceship that's unmanned.
Every time that happens, I think, something happened to that take. Something happened to that take and it could not be used. That's the only reason.
They are running out of air, however.
Yes.
Out of oxygen. They find out that they're in a piece of the ship and there's a whole bunch, they sort of figure out that there's a whole bunch of them sort of drifting through space.
Has there ever been a better show that turned, like, production problems into plot points?
No. I feel really safe saying that.
You look at, like, the behind-the-scenes Wikipedia entries on the show, it's like, they wrote this serial at the last minute to replace one that didn't come together. And then the next episode, they wrote this one at the last minute to replace it. Like, you could do an entire, like, alternate history of Doctor Who for all the episodes that they meant to make, but made the ones we know instead.
Some of them, like, the one with the unicorn
and the wasp.
No, the one with Jamie gets turned into a cardboard thing.
The fiction one,
Mind Robber.
Yes.
See, you've seen that episode and I haven't. I just heard you talk about it.
The Mind Robber replaced a serial that was going to get written, and I'm so glad that it did because the one that was going to be there was awful.
That
terrible.
The feminism
yeah.
is bad episode.
Any television show that does like a, we're going to do a feminism episode where we go to the planet where all the women are in charge. Like every single one of those is bad. Futurama, Rick and Morty, Third Thing, they're all bad.
Rick and Morty's is really bad just because I expected it to not be. I was like, you came so close.
Yeah, they were going to, you expect them to have like some twist on it and like, nope, just doing the trope. Gotta get it done. We're a sci-fi show.
The Doctor Who one would have been particularly bad. Jamie would have been a drag and the Doctor would have deprogrammed Zoe by spanking her.
Were there any women writers during this point of the show?
I don't think so.
Because these guys are like lonely nerds who don't have any internet yet.
So they're running out of oxygen in this piece of the ship. And then
they find some oxygen.
Yeah, they've got oxygen tanks.
Oh, also, the Navy people send out a ship to follow Milo to make sure, see if he's a pirate or whatever.
They have some great terms for the future Navy stuff. Like, their little ships are called minnows. I mean, they go really fast. They say, like, maximum boost. Which sounds really quaint, but it's totally like a rocket term, like booster rockets and stuff like that. Like, we're used to like hyperdrive and warp would sound like, yeah, that's what it's called when you go fast. To hear them call it like boost is like, oh, that's silly. You do that on a hot air balloon.
When the minnow comes out of the bigger ship.
You were so
I was
excited.
So excited because it was a model coming out of a smaller model coming out of a bigger model.
That shot happens a couple of times because...
Reconstructions.
Yeah, reconstructions. And every time Joe had this stupid, goofy grin on his face. Every single time.
That's just his face, Tony. He is a goofy grin.
It was a model with a slightly smaller
model. It was particularly goofy.
Flying out of it.
And again, I would like to highlight the music, which is the weird, like, space opera lady singing during space. And then it goes into, like, jaunty, quasi-oriental music with lots of, like, drums and jingling. So it's like, this isn't music for space pirates. This is music for Kutchu Bazaar, Istanbul. The Mongolians are approaching.
This serial has, like, the least to do with pirates. I don't know why it was called the Space Pirates.
It
should have been called...
Because it sounds cool.
It should be called, like, the Space Navy and the Space Miner.
Space Cowboy is what I would have called it. The Doctor says that the ship's in pieces, but there's magnets... How do they work?
We just don't know.
He teaches us how magnets work and shows Jamie with his magnets that he has in his pocket for whatever reason.
It's been thoroughly established at this point that the Doctor's pockets are full of junk.
They're bigger on the inside.
The TARDIS is on a different piece, by the way. A different broken off piece of this ship. So he's like, if I reverse the polarity of the magnets, I can like pull the pieces together. And then Zoe's like, or push him apart. He's like, don't be such a pessimist.
He said that so, like, the tone was so severe.
You'd never know what to expect with the Second Doctor.
We get the woman who runs the mining corporation.
She's weird.
And
she has
a
metal butt
hair.
Head.
Well, that's like a beehive hairdo that's been encased in Argonite.
I love that hair helmet.
I feel like there's a lot of 1960s space women with hair helmets. Like, people are always like, the future, where's my jetpack? Where's my flying car? There needs to be women who are like, where are my hair helmets? It's the future.
He looked heavy.
Men never have hair helmets.
It's like it was a helmet that was shaped specifically to fit her hair. Not protect her or anything. Just keep that hair stylish.
Maybe her hair was wet and she didn't want to expose it to space. She's another very dry character who's just like... Am I sinister, or am I holding in a fart? I don't know.
Because I just figured she was she was in league with the pirates.
I figured she was, like, pirate queen, and when she was, like, the pirate not queen, that was sad. I gave her a lot more credit than she earned.
Also, yeah. It's said that maybe she had, that Milo might have had something to do with her father's death/disappearance.
Disappearance.
But she's okay with it now.
She used to blame him for it, but now she's over it. There's no really good explanation for that either, because, like, someone questions her about it.
She's pretty reasonable for a ruthless businesswoman in League with Pirates.
Like, I thought you hated him. She's like, yeah, I did for a while, but then, you know.
He's really charming.
So, the doctor does the thing to make the magnet do its thing, and guess what, you guys?
He was super wrong.
He got it wrong. Zoe's catchphrase is, you got it wrong. This is, like, third time she said this. So, they're floating helplessly in space.
Space doppers.
They're passing oxygen hits. It looks very much like they're a couple of druggies. Three druggies. That's more than a couple. That's three. That's a few.
A trio of druggies.
So they're all just like huddled around in their drug den.
Right, it's a couple plus Zoe.
Couple plus. Exactly.
Who's Zachary?
He's my best friend. Don't say anything bad about him.
Let's kill him.
That's fair. So they're all sitting there and they start getting pelted with the nuts and bolts, I guess. And then the door breaks down and it's Milo in a in the space pirate costume.
Your recap reminded me I wasn't really paying all that much attention.
But Milo has gotten this piece of the ship, and he's, like, busted in. And like I said, he's wearing the space pirate costume, which is a little confusing.
Yeah, he switched out of his prospector into, like, welding visor plus boots, or gloves. His gun is, like, a gun shape, but not made out of gun pieces. It's like a fluorescent light bulb hairdryer gun.
That's what Doctor Who can afford. And he shoots Jamie.
Jamie regenerates.
And then he's the doctor now. Jamie is the doctor now. But no, Jamie falls down, and that's the end of episode 2. Jamie's dead. And we're now to episode 3, which I've called The Space Pirates 3. The cowboy is the pirate?
This freaked me out, by the way, and you were making fun of me. I was like, oh my god, Jamie's dead! And you're like, Jamie's not dead. And I was like, you don't, we're at the end. We're coming to the end of 2 as an era. Jamie's dead.
It's weird watching this from the perspective of the future, where you can kind of look up and know what happens to people. But like, the drama is like, characters can kind of come and go pretty quickly, so, like, beware. Like these days, I feel like a companion leaving is, like, a big deal. It's always kind of pre-telegraphed, so it's really nice to have, like, this element of surprise.
Some companions just go away, and then they're like, where's that companion? Oh, they went home. That has literally happened to a companion.
Well, I go home sometimes. Milo's pretty tough. He's pretty like, I'm gonna kill you unless you tell me what I can say. And they're like, we'll tell you later. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna shoot you now. I warn you.
Yeah. Milo thinks that they're pirates.
Mistaken identity.
Everyone thinks everyone is pirates. And there's surprisingly few pirates. There's a great bit of dialogue where he's like, Zoe calls the doctor, and Milo's like, why did she call you doctor? He goes, sheer politeness. And then they say that they landed inside of the ship, and that's, they're trying to get to their ship. And he's like, you landed inside of a ship? That's darn near impossible.
What, were you, a model coming out of a larger model? I don't see how that's possible. Then they're like very casual and evasive about it. And then in the next scene, he's like, oh, so you guys are time travelers. I don't think they said anything about that. So really, the doctor should have said, Milo, come with us. We'll show you dinosaurs and real cowboys and stuff. And he'd be like, come, darn it. I'm going to go mine for space gold with you. I'm not saying very many helpful things for your podcast.
That's what we have you on for, to be unhelpful. That's the guest's job.
Oh, okay.
And you are doing spectacularly.
Yay!
Okay, and this is when they get shot at by the Navy people, and it's a warning. You mentioned it earlier. Milo just shit. Milo, what? Let me say that again. Milo just shoots a shit ton of copper needles into space, and that fucks up their system. They're like scanner, and they're like, "There's shit everywhere. There's just shit everywhere."
Well, shit is a Space Navy term. It's like for stuff happening in there.
Yeah, so he's like, their ships run on this and that. Their scanners technology doesn't work with copper, so it messes up their system.
It's like a thing where the Space Navy has very, very, like, advanced stuff that can be easily screwed up, where Milo has very, very, like, old and junky stuff that can be repaired and made useful and, like, evade it. I feel like a car metaphor where, like, modern cars, some computer chip could break and, like, now your car doesn't work. And, like, an old car is like, no, just slap some duct tape on that and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
I feel like it's like having a computer so old that it doesn't connect to the internet, so it can't get viruses.
Or a phone so old that it can't make calls, unless you smear chocolate on it.
That's your phone, right?
I know I shouldn't have bought a phone made by Wonka.
Yeah,
but the phone tastes like snozzberries.
I can only call with the phone. This is gold, Joe. This podcast is solid gold. It's better than Argonite.
So Milo mentions that the Argonite, and they say they don't know what Argonite is. None of them do. And because of that, Milo's like, you must really be time travelers. That's the proof that, like, sells it for him. That you guys don't know what Argonite is. You must be from a different time period.
One of them stupid time periods.
Because, like, they'd said that they were time travelers before, and he's like, nah. And then they're like, we don't know what Argonaut is. And he goes, oh, I guess so. I guess they're time travelers. That makes sense. And then Kit Peddler comes in to write a scene, and Milo asks Zoe to make a pot of tea. But they can't. She can't because the teapot fell and broke during the whole kerfluffle. And then he's like, it shouldn't have. It's made out of the same material that my ship's made out of.
Helium!
I didn't remember that was what the ship was made out of.
It seemed like really important. They've like mentioned it a couple times. Like, wow, we're getting a great, great lesson in fictional mineralogically. I'm going to try that again. Fictional mineralogy. There we go. That's probably it. If it's a fictional discipline, it can be spelled wrong. I wish he'd been more explaining what various things are made out of. Like, so the TARDIS is like, oh, this is Gallifreyanium Woodonium. And they're at this beehive helmet. This is made out of compressed lady butt hair in space. You know, you just should have appreciated what things are made out of more. More or less, because they did it the exact wrong amount.
That's exactly what Doctor Who needs, is more exposition.
Comedy exposition from cowboys.
Which, I love Milo the Cowboy and his accent, but it is a little hard to understand sometimes in the reconstruction when the audio quality is so shitty.
We're watching the same video, and like, when she didn't, the person putting the recon together kept using the same photo of Milo over and over and over again for his talking scenes. And it wasn't even like a good photo. He was kind of like blurry and like tilting his head quickly. It was an odd choice.
They did make a lot of odd choices. I actually prefer the just still photos than sometimes they try to animate it weirdly and it's just like paper cutouts. So just like, that translates well to radio.
Yeah.
I didn't see him doing any stuff moving, but he like made clocks move and radar screens and spaceships all move very flatly. Thank you for trying, Reconstruction Guy. We owe you one.
Also, the reconstructions we watched had subtitles, which I also love because the audio quality is so shitty.
But I watched it the same one. It just kept having like a little ticker tape across the bottom that was explaining what was happening. And I mostly listening to it while I'm doing something else, so it didn't help.
I had a hard time because the one we watched had subtitles, but it also had the ticker tape of what was going on at the same time. And my brain was just like, nope, that's too many things. You can now read none of them. I was like, all right, thanks. This is great.
That's what I'm like when just two people are talking. Usually I'll be on the phone, the chocolate phone, and someone will be telling me something to tell the person on the other phone. And I'm just in the middle going, I can hear neither of you.
So the Navy people have just left Ta. Ta, by the way, is where the mining corporation is, and Helmet Hair Lady.
Helmet Hair Lady, who owns the mining corporation.
Yes, it's Ta. And so Milo is like getting away from the Navy guys and like, we're going to go lie low on Ta because no one would expect me to be there. Because
it's the worst place for me to go.
Because there's this whole beef with me and Helmet Hair.
Now that is some Doctor Who logic.
And then they basically crash land in like a cave system. I don't know. It's very weird.
They're in the mines.
And then it's at this point that we get another red herring, I guess, that her name's Madeline, by the way, Helmet Hair, that she's the pirate person because the pirate ships are exactly the same as her ships, except her ship has a fancy nose cone.
And the nose cone is weird, swirly. By the way. It's Tim Burton-y. It does not look something like a fancy corporation would have. Unless it's Willy Wonka.
I think she's the version of, like, remember on 30 Rock when the guy's daughter took control of GE and she's just this weird little troll woman making very not at all good business decisions? That's the same thing as this space lady. First things first, we're going to put swirly nose cones on and all the women are going to have hair helmets. This is a business, damn it.
We're making Argonite mining fun.
Which the mines have been, like, petered out for years and they're just getting mining Argonite from blowing up. These beacons and such. They're just recycling more than mining.
The space cops were the worst, by the way, because it's like, oh man, we saw a ship that looks exactly like your ships. That's what the pirates have. I better make sure I know which ones are yours so I don't get them confused. I'm not suspicious of this at all.
Maybe there's only three kinds of ships.
She's like, you shouldn't be, because mine have a fancy hat.
We're complaining about the pirates having a lack of hats. The spaceships that get hats. They get little copper needles, spiky hairdos. They got fancy nose cones.
And she talks about, like, how expensive it is. Or somebody talks about how expensive the nose cone is to make. So it's completely useless and very expensive.
That sounds like a business.
That's a business decision if ever I heard.
Milo goes to fix his ship that's falling apart. And Zoe starts writing stuff. And at she's doing math. And Chris Cherry pointed this out to me. The reconstruction picture they've chosen is a little unfortunate. Because she's bent over, like, writing the notes. And it looks like 2 is checking her out. Like, looking at her butt and, like, biting his finger.
What?
Yeah. Because he does, that's what, who does that? He bites his finger a lot. But I think they, like, merge photos together. But it yeah. it looks unfortunate because it looks like he's just checking her out and biting his finger.
Oh, no. But we've talked about this before. How old is Zoe?
I think, I hope she's old enough.
I feel like she's young enough for the sexualization of her to be a little creepy, right? Yeah. Am I right?
I mean, yes. Yes. Right. They always keep showing her butt or legs or something. It's constant. But yeah, she's like done some math and says, like, if this is this and that is that, and they put the two over the three, then the other ship pieces should have landed near here. Like, probably not that far. We can go find the TARDIS. The Doctor is so annoyed anytime Zoe is smarter than he is. He's like, I would have figured that out too if I had thought of it. Or knew what you knew. At this point, they start to wonder if Milo, because Milo's out of the room, they start wondering if Milo is a pirate, and if that he's gone to collect his booty. So they're worried that...
They're not, because he's not... There's no, like, piratey cliches anywhere.
Then they leave to go find the TARDIS, basically. And Milo has, by the way, warned them not to leave because it's a very complicated cave system.
Usually it's the Doctor who warns people not to leave, and then they leave anyway and he gets mad at them. Which, again, reinforces that Milo is the main character of this serial.
Milo is the Doctor now.
The Miloth Doctor.
Meanwhile, the pirates are like, we're going to reroute all of these pieces to a different planet.
Have the pirates at this point, there was like a very chilling scene with the pirates where the one junior pirate was like, okay, the fuzz is on to me. I gotta drop my pirate booty and like escape. And the main captain is like, I put an explosive on your ship, so the police may get you, but if you don't do what I say, I'll definitely kill you. And the guy's like, that's a great way to inspire loyalty amongst your crew.
Yeah, there's this whole dynamic of like the main pirate and this constantly worried pirate who's always like, I'm not doing this thing, and then he's like, you're doing the thing, and he's like, oh, okay. It happens a lot. But yeah, like it's at this point like the pirate captain is telling him, like, you have to send these pieces to Lobos, and he's like, I don't want to do that, I just it's too much work and it's too risky and blah blah blah, and he's like, nope, you got to do it, I said so. But yeah, then the Team TARDIS does exactly what Milo said would happen, and they get lost.
Super quickly.
They do see the pirates sort of melting the Argonite, the piece into Argonite. And then the pirates hear them, and come after them. They run away from the pirates, who start shooting at them, and they fall down a mineshaft. That's the end of episode 3. And we're now into episode 4, A Pocket Full of Pins.
Did you think that pirates would involve so many mineshafts and prospectors?
Did not. There's so many pirate cliches and no other types of tropes. None. Just pirate tropes. That's it.
Jill, you're speaking broken. There's no pirate tropes. It's all prospector tropes.
Yes, that.
Which are not used as often.
I have to say I enjoy these the cowboy prospector tropes, though. It's the only thing holding this serial together. Everything else is kind of meh and boring, but the cowboy stuff is great.
They should do an episode called The Space Cowboys, and it's nothing but piracy.
Big Finish. Hire Ray to write that.
I'll probably outsource it to you and Ben to do the writing, to be honest. And Chris. Collectively, Ben, Joe, and Chris as writers are called Ray Friesen. That's an in-joke for me when I listen to this podcast later.
They fall down a mineshaft that's apparently not that far down, and they land inside of what appears to be a prison cell.
Office building.
The Doctor is like starts like digging around in his pockets and stabs himself with a pocket full of pins. This whole serial, he's just constantly reaching into his pockets and pulling out random shit.
I think Jamie asks him about it, and he's like, I like pins.
It's like, normally I'm very happy to have them there until they stab me.
I just like they're comforting to have around.
I feel your pain, Doctor. I, too, walk around with pockets full of screws. Or, like, I'll put on pants that I haven't worn for a long time, and I'll find cool things in them.
I never find cool things. I find things that I should not have left in my pockets. Like, I don't know what this is, but it's melted.
I found, like, a pocket knife in my pocket, and I was like, what?
I always find money.
Tony wins. Tony, you're the best at this game.
It's either money or receipts.
I'm like, I reach in, and I'm like, oh, I hope that's just gum.
Or just crumbs, like something that was something, and now it's just crumbs.
I'm pretty sure I've put on my pants and found stuff you've put in my pockets.
I put on my pants and find that my pants have been altered in ways I wasn't expecting. Michelle was doing a big like sewing adventure for a Kickstarter, and she's making little dinosaur hoodies. All my sweatpants, she like dinosaured the butt, so they have little like scales and tails on them. Like all of my sweatpants. It's fun at the post office. Can I point out, Tony, that you said I either find money or receipts? Receipts are the opposite of money.
Receipts are where money used to be.
It's one or the other.
Receipts are a money-shaped hole in the universe.
They find a guy in this cell whose name is Sorba, and he was one of the guys that was stationed at the beacon to protect it from pirates and did a really bad job of it.
We thought, you're not pirates? We thought you were pirates. No, we weren't pirates. We thought you were pirates. No. Are there any pirates? We don't know.
Who knows? We haven't seen any.
This guy is basically unimportant. He's just there to be cannon fodder later. But the doctor sees a water in a fragile bowl. And he's like, that means there must be another way out of here because there's no way that could have come down that mineshaft and not, you know, shattered.
Who builds an office at the bottom of a mineshaft?
Helmet-haired people.
Yep, that's how they do it. That's where I'm going to build all my offices.
The doctor pulls out a stethoscope out of his pockets.
Because he's a doctor.
And he starts listening to the walls, and he finds a door, and he's like, there's an audio lock on it.
Have you ever used a stethoscope? They don't work. Like, you're trying to listen to things, and he's like, why? Is there a stick on these earbuds?
They do. Just, what are you listening to?
Just all kinds of stuff. I was trying to listen to Welly's heartbeat, and he doesn't have one.
That may be a problem with your child.
Yeah.
He's developed a fault.
For your ability to use a stethoscope.
Which end are you putting in your ears?
Both of them.
Do you hear your own thoughts? Maybe you've used the wrong end.
I've never heard my own thoughts. I do not know what I'm thinking.
That explains so much.
He has to verbalize them to hear them.
That's why I'm always interrupting you.
So, in order to...
I like pizza!
In order to pick this lock, he pulls out of his other pocket a tuning fork and starts smacking it against things to try to get it to work.
People don't keep tuning forks in their pockets enough these days.
Did you say tuning pork?
Maybe. I now wonder aloud what a tuning fork would be like. It is so good. Chili verde sauce.
We know that the doctor has the sonic screwdriver now. He's used it twice. This would be a perfect time to use the sonic screwdriver on an audio lock. But that does not happen.
Instead, he uses a tuning fork.
I really want to see what happens when the doctor has sonic screws.
He just makes things really fast. Assembles so many cabinets.
Sonic cabinets.
But the tuning fork is not working for the doctor. Jamie gets mad and, like, grabs it and throws it at the wall. Like, this isn't working! And then it goes, ptoing, in the right way, and the door opens.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that that's dumb.
It is a little bit, but I enjoy
it. It's pretty dumb.
It's, like, good and interesting. It's no, like, pirate sword fight, which they're also missing. But, you know, tuning forks are the next best thing to swords.
But the door opens and there's Milo. Like, where the hell were you guys?
I've been looking all over for you.
And some pirates come in and Clancy shoots them. Shoots one of them and another one gets away. He's like, see? I don't like the pirates. Now do you believe me? I killed one.
Yeah, because they still kind of think he's a pirate. He's like, I'm rescuing you. And they're like, are you? Maybe you've come down here to imprison us even more. He's like, what? No, I'm rescuing you. You guys suck. Don't try and talk me out of rescuing you.
Yeah, so he's like, I think that the head of the pirates is helmet-haired Lady Madeline, who I used to work with her dad a while back. He's like, oh, let's go talk to her. And they start. He's like, I know this place like the back of my hand.
Which is never true.
How well do people know the back of their hands?
I have no idea what the back of my hand looks like. Like,
which hand? This one? Yeah. Or this one? Because this one hurts. I mean, I know the front of my hand pretty well.
Which side is actually the back and which side's the front?
The front of your hand is the part that you touch stuff with. The back of your hand is the part that you rub feathers on.
I have questions.
I broke Joe! For the listener at home, Joe is laughing so much that he is not producing any noise. Tony, rub him with a feather.
Joseph? Darn.
Like, you can't grab stuff with the back of your hand. You can't, like, curl your fingers around to that portion, because they only bend one way. They're, like, only hinged in one direction.
Oh, that hurt my head. All right.
Am I your podcast guest who's hurt your head the most?
Like, on the podcast? Or just in, like, life in general?
Like, as a friend.
I want to win both awards.
Cherry wrote a really complicated script that broke my brain. So, it's probably got me there. Sorry.
I'll try harder.
So,
what are you talking about? Doctor Who, right?
They're heading towards...
Milo's trying to rescue them, and they're being really snotty. It's like, can't you tell he's the good guy? He's wearing plaid.
Bad guys don't wear plaid.
No, they're too bad. Jamie's got plaid. Milo's got plaid. They're friends. Come on.
What about evil lumberjacks?
When was the last time you met an evil lumberjack? They're all good.
Even when you think they're bad, they turn out to be good.
Every time?
Every goddamn time.
They cut old ladies out of wolves. It happens.
All right.
Plus, they help you build stuff by giving you wood. Or selling it to you for very, very low prices. Are there Argonite jacks? Yes, there are. Okay. I'm going to stop making accent until innuendos, and I'm hungry, so hurry this up.
They're running around. Sorba is having difficulty moving. Because he's got a wound or some shit. Jamie leaves everybody to go fight people with the gun he got from Milo. The doctor shocks himself somehow that I don't remember. Zoe's very happy about that.
Well, he insulted her math earlier.
Like, this so is fuck payback. You.
Insult math and you're gonna get shot.
And then Jamie's gun runs out of power, but it's okay because the doctor turns on a thing and electrocutes a guard. I don't remember what happened. I'm just reading my notes. I don't remember any of this. The important thing is they meet up with Madeline.
Reconstruction showed all of this in like one photo.
They meet up with Madeline. She doesn't believe anything they say. And then the pirates show up and it's sort of implied that she's in league with them. She is sort of in league with them, but not in a bad way.
Is this the part where she's like, oh, I didn't know you were going to murder people. I thought you were just going to steal stuff. And the pirate captain's like, no, we're totally going to murder people. And she's like, well, don't murder any more people. And he's like, yeah, no, we're gonna. And she's like, why won't you listen to me, you murderer? You person who doesn't mind breaking the law, like, a lot? Just listen to me, and I'm wearing a hat. Come on.
She was fine with pirates.
Who knew that teaming up with pirates was such a bad idea?
In my experience, pirates generally have a very strong code of ethics.
There's, like, a little scene. I forget what she says exactly, but it's like, I'm pretty sure this murderer will do what I say. Murderers don't listen to other people. That's why they murder people.
So they show up, they realize that she's in league with the pirates, and then the pirate shoots the guy, Sorba. That was his entire point, was to be cannon fodder for a cliffhanger. That's it. Because that was the end of episode 4. Guy that we don't really care about dies. And we're now into episode 5, called Dom in the Study with Marbles. So yeah, then that scene you're talking about happens, and Cavan is the pirate captain's name. Cavan and Madeline argue about shit. So they put Team TARDIS in a room, keep them out of the way, and there's a giant portrait of Helmet Hair's dad, and they're like, we're in his study! And they're like, trying to figure out how candles work so they can get the lights on.
Oh yeah, one of the people don't know how candles work. Is that Zoe?
It's Zoe, yeah. She's
Jamie
from the
has
future.
To explain technology to Zoe in a great scene that feels like vindication.
Yeah, it's a nice role reversal because she's so far in the future. They don't have candles in the future. They don't have backup systems in case technology fails. They just have light bulbs.
No, they probably have something cooler than light bulbs, like energon spheres.
Someone says no one's been in this room for years or whatever, and then
yeah, Madeline's ordered it shut and locked because she doesn't. It makes her sad.
And then the doctor's like, that's not true. This clock has been wound. They hear a noise and they look under the table and there's just straight up a guy under there. It was the most frightening thing ever.
This shit was the most fucked up shit of my life.
Just this old guy with tons of hair, like a big beard. He's just like, rawr! And we're like, what the fuck is happening? Who wrote this?
Like, there's no, like, bed or any signs that he's been, like, living there. You'd think if he's been locked in this room for a while, it'd show signs of being all messy and stupid.
But no, he's just been hanging out under the table.
It's really nice down there.
Which I think we should say,
It's Madeline's dad.
Madeline's dad. He's just been locked in this room for years!
And she locked him in there.
No, she didn't lock him in there.
She was tricked into locking him in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
By
yes.
Murder guy.
Cavan, who is right now planning to frame and murder Milo, say that he's the pirate, and then they're going to blow his ship up and be like, hey, we killed the pirate.
Also, her dad is all, like, messed up in the head.
Well, he's been locked in this room forever.
Yeah, he's, like, ruined.
Very unsettling.
Milo, who was his old partner in the mining business, is very sad and trying to, like, talk to him about the good old days. It's a very weird and sad scene and upsetting. It's in a good way, but
it's not a plot point you were expecting in the Space Pirates.
That just described the Space Pirates.
One of the major plot points in the Space Pirates is there was somebody locked in a room for years.
Winding a space clock.
I like that. He's gone space mad, right. But he still takes time to wind that clock. It's one thing that's he keeps regular. He's like, I want to know how long I've been in here.
And I don't have time to draw check marks on the walls.
He starts to remember Milo, and he starts to calm down a bit. But then he's like, everybody's going to die. We're all going to die. And they're like, why didn't they kill him? Which is a very good question. Why didn't Cavan kill him?
They told Space Helmet, Hair Helmet, that he was dead. But then they kept him alive to use as leverage against her later, where they can say, your dad is actually still alive, and we're going to kill him. Like, that's their plan.
Wow. That's a convoluted plan. Yeah, I think that's at this point that they pretty much tell her that. And then she doesn't do what they say. she uses this information to be like, well, fuck you guys, and tries to call the Space Corps, the Navy Space.
What's their name? Yeah. They are the something Corps.
I think they're just Space Corps, maybe. No, wait, she tries to do that before, and then okay, I got that backwards. She calls them because she's pissed off, like, it's not going the way she wants. And then when she calls them, he's like, no, wait, your dad's still alive. And then she's like, oh, then I won't say anything. And then she's like, I'm just calling to say hello.
What do you guys talk anymore.
So meanwhile, in the room, they're trying to figure out how to get out of the room. And the doctor's like, wait a second, I have marbles. And they literally set up a trap.
Wait. My favorite scene is they're setting up the trap, and the doctor's like, oh, Jamie, can you hand me that green one? And he does, and he's like, this one's my favorite, and puts it back in his pocket.
Quirks.
They literally escape by, like, oh, hey, come in here a second. And then the guard comes in and is like, whoa, 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 and falls down.
Falls on the marbles.
And they get out.
He fell out the window into space.
Kevin is initially mad about this, but Madeline's like, haha, you guys got bested. And then they are like, he's like, wait a second. They're going to get on Milo's ship, which I have just rigged to explode. So this is working out in my favor. And then she's like, wait a second. My dad is with them. And he's like, too bad. So sad. Well, the doctor, Milo, and Madeline's dad get on Milo's ship, and they're about to take off. And the doctor is like, hold on a second. Jamie and Zoe aren't caught up yet. Let me go grab them. He gets off the ship, and as soon as he gets off the ship takes off because Kevin has it, like, under his control and, like, forces it to take off. And, like, the doctor gets hit with, like, the shit that makes the ship go zoom.
Exhaust. The boost.
The shit that makes the ship go zoom.
And he passes out, and that's the end of episode 5. And we're now into episode 6, which I've titled See You, Space Cowboy. So Zoe and the Jamie. I always say Zoe and the Jamie. I'm so used to saying
the
Doctor.
Zoe and the Jamie is my favorite band.
Zoe and Jamie find the Doctor. He is not doing well. And then Kevin orders that the oxygen be cut on Milo's ship. And then, like, the ship's like, hey, you guys, you have 10 minutes of oxygen. And Milo's like, the fuck? And is trying to get the ship to stop. He can't. He has no control over the ship.
But it's made of tillium.
Yeah, how does he take control over the ship when the ship is so shitty? How does it even have the parts?
If it was a Space Corps ship, that would make a lot more sense. Like, how do you hack a toaster? That's the other subtitle for this episode. Dr. Strangelove style. Please send your suggestions on how to hack a toaster to watchyourasslon at josephine.com.
Or just put it in our ask box.
Just do it. I want to know. I've invented a lot of competitions for this episode. Yeah. People be writing you in all kinds of stuff.
And Ray will be providing all of the prizes.
Like, the winner of the How Do You Hack a Toaster contest will get a free drawing from me.
Ray will do a drawing if you tell us how to hack a toaster in the most creative way possible. So the worried pirate, his name is Dervish, by the way, the one who's being constantly told to do things and he doesn't want to. Madeline tries to use this to be like, hey, join me in teaming up against Kevin. You think he's going to, but he doesn't because he's so much of a wimp.
He's like, well, that guy's scary.
He almost shoots her, even. He's like, stop trying to tell me good things.
Because he's like an engineer that got pressed into piracy, and he's like, I just wanted to build stuff. And they're like, well, don't shoot us. And he's like, no, I still gotta shoot you.
But luckily, Jamie shows up and knocks the gun out of his hands.
Perfect opportunity for a sword fight.
But Jamie saves the day, but at the same time fucks up the day because when he knocks the gun out, it shoots the control unit, which is controlling Milo's ship, and it is now super fucked up. Doctor starts trying to fix it, and he calls Milo's ship, but they're passed out, him and Dom. That's Madeline's dad's name. But he starts to wake up, and he says, like, Dom is okay. Then they sort of just start trying to fix the ship and gives Milo control of his ship back, which he immediately uses to recline his chair. Kevin says he's going to blow up the mine with Madeline in it, locks the door, and leaves. So Milo is going to have to come back and save them. But first they have to finish fixing the control unit. There's a whole, you know, big, like, tension thing of they're trying to set up the bombs. Milo's trying to come back. Madeline finally gets through to the Space Corps and is like, hey, shit's going bad here. And the pirates are here as well.
And the Space Corps says, we were pirates all along.
That would have been a great twist. Doesn't happen.
Big Finish, call me.
So, but they finally get the ship, Milo's ship, working because Dom comes and helps out, saves the day.
Prospectors know a lot about spaceships.
Dom's very glad that they're going back because he's looking forward to seeing his daughter again. Aww. So they land, Milo runs in and gets them out of the room. The doctor goes to turn off the bomb. He has 6 minutes in which to do so.
Six!
Another six!
And then we proceed to see him disarming the bomb in real fucking time. It takes forever for him to disarm the bomb.
Nowadays, there's just a big red button.
Yeah, but it's like he's going around with, like, wires, and there's, like, things he's moving around. It's a whole big ordeal. And the Space Corps, meanwhile, has blown up the pirates.
Like, really casually. The pirate captain is like, if you don't Space Corps away from here, I'm going to blow stuff up. And General Incompetent just goes, nope, and presses the button, and the pirate's dead.
They're like, oh, I'm just tired of this. Just want this plot to move forward. But it's okay, because the doctor successfully deactivates the bomb.
It isn't the bomb, he says, this bomb makes a quaint old atomic bomb look like a potato, or something like that. Like, he calls atomic bombs quaint. I'm pretty sure that was a thing.
That sounds like a doctor thing to say. So, Madeline is going to have to go on trial, but first she goes to see her daddy.
Yeah, she says, I suppose I'll have to go home and stand trial for these crimes. And they're like, do you? Just tell the space commander that you didn't do any crimes. She's like, no, I must have justice on myself. It's very melodramatic.
Like, well, the day's saved, everything's over, what do we do now? And they're like, well, we gotta get back to the TARDIS. Where is the TARDIS? And it's like, it's on a completely different planet. And Milo's like, I'll fly you there. And Jamie's like, I'd rather walk. The doctor's like, you might have to. And everybody laughs.
For way too long.
And that's the end of not only the episode, but the cereal.
It was like Joe laughing when I told him about feather hands.
Except yours was funny, and this is just, eh.
Okay, so my Big Finish sequel to this will take place during the time frame in which Milo is driving them back to the TARDIS. That'd be fun.
Yeah, they go on little space cowboy adventures.
Those are the best kind.
Write it. That's what I say.
Okay. Joe, would you write that for me? You and Ben and Chris.
All right, we'll do it.
Get on it. Fight at the heart! I enjoyed this episode because it had some good bits, especially Milo, who's a really fun character. There could have been a lot more bits. It could have had a lot more follow through on what its premises were, or more enjoyment of the fact that it totally was mixing and mashing all of its tropes together. Like, this episode had a lot of potential with some good bits and a lot of boring bits. Like, Space Corps, less of them. Space Pirates and Milo, more of them. The Doctor and Zoe and Joey were pretty superfluous to this episode.
Zoe and Joey.
Zoe and the Jamie. That's what I'm more. I'm really looking forward to doing an episode of this podcast with you with an episode that exists.
You did the Gunfighters.
Well, it's in black and white.
So it's almost like it doesn't exist. Well, there won't be no more missing ones, so.
Oh, we'll lose some between now and then. Also, I started just watching The Pirate Planet, which is a different Doctor Who serial to prep for this podcast, so maybe have me back for that one. So I already watched half of it before I realized it was the wrong one.
The fact that there was a different Doctor didn't tip.
I wasn't really paying attention. I was too busy stroking the back of my hands with various feathers.
That's beautiful.
It's what I do. I'm a father now. I really liked the space transmissions coming on an old black and white television that looked very similar to my grandma's. All the rest of this spaceship made out of plywood I'm buying. It's very square for a spaceship, but whatever. And then it's just like, this is heavy and full of vacuum tubes. You wouldn't have this on a spaceship.
I think you should shift. Probably the first moment that Milo is on screen. It happens very slowly, but it's like this look of joy on my face the more he starts speaking. It was just like surprise and joy.
We're having the space cowboy. Like,
I don't know who this character is, but yes. More of this, please. And yeah, he was the best part of the serial, for sure.
Yeah.
More of him.
And I don't really have a lot to say, except Milo's great.
Everything else wasn't.
There could have been way more Doctor as well. Like, Team TARDIS is so, almost not even part of it. Though I will say I did enjoy the surprise reveal of an old guy under the table. That's always fun.
Shit kind of messed me up, to be honest.
The only thing that I think worked with, like, the Doctor was just him constantly pulling shit out of his pockets. That's very in tone with who the Doctor is. Yeah,
right.
It's kind of a meh episode.
Well, it doesn't exist. It's really hard. It's very easy when you're watching a reconstruction to just be doing other things. Even when, like we sit down and it's like we're filming ourselves watching it, so we're trying not to multitask.
I'm just so glad that this is our last missing one.
I think it's getting boring, us being like, well, it was a reconstruction, so we're not sure exactly what was happening, and it was hard to follow, and I'm glad we're going to be able to stop having that conversation.
And soon we'll be in color.
So soon. So soon.
But that was it. That's the Space Pirates. Before we clock out here, Ray, anything you want to plug?
My new webcomic, The Foggiest, launches tomorrow as of us recording this podcast. I haven't been doing all that great at writing lately because, like, I can draw while distracted, but I can't write while distracted. And my life is nothing but distractions these days. So I turned to all of my friends who are writers who are really talented, who aren't really doing as much writing as they should be doing. And I said, here's an idea. Write it into a script. And everyone said, okay. And now I have 2 years worth of content written in my folder.
No one questioned it. Everyone just started writing.
Yeah, no one questioned it. Michelle's like, do you want to get like a contract with these people and discuss finances? And I'm like, nope. But Joe, you wrote 3 episodes, like 3 different stories. Like, it's going to be an anthology, so there's no like characters that reoccur or even like genres that reoccur. So all of Joe's are completely different. And then I assigned Tony one, and she wrote all the good bits and made Joe do all the hard work.
Yeah, I was like, here's what happens in it. Write that.
Joe and Tony, you guys worked on one for me together. And I looked at it and I said, the ending needs to be a little bit more like this. And then you said, okay, we'll write part 2. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't mean that.
It's coming along.
But it's better now.
Yeah, it's way better now.
Better is always better.
Nothing really, like, it just sort of ended, and now something fun happens, and then it ends.
Yeah.
So yeah, that launches tomorrow.
Now, in the future, when this is going up, it is already...
Other stuff that I'm doing, building a house, that's fun. I'm taking my baby to the hospital a lot. That's fun. Creatively, I'm also doing another big collaboration project with all you guys, because like once, like collaborative projects, once they started happening, I'm like, more! Let's do more! And I started like 6 other ones. And Michelle's like, you've started a ridiculous number of projects. And I'm like, yeah, starting projects is the fun part. Because I never stop to like consider things, I just start them. We'll be doing a new Discworld graphic novel at some point that's in the early stages. Can't really talk about it. Haven't been paid for it yet.
Which, by the way, this is Ray Friesen, who did a graphic novel adaptation of Small Gods.
I couldn't be on your podcast last time I was scheduled to be on it because I was at the Discworld convention in the UK. And like Joe texted me and said, Ray, are you going to record the podcast with us later? And I'm like, no, I'm putting on my tuxedo and getting ready for an awards ceremony. And you're like, okay, we'll catch you later. Oh, we're doing another podcast together. When is Ben going to put that up?
Don't know, but he has the first couple of episodes, maybe?
Maybe. He pimped it out on his last episode, but I cut it all out because I wasn't sure if it was going to happen because we hadn't actually recorded it yet.
We had had a lot of delayed recording. So Joe and Tony and Ben Padden, frequent guests of the show, and Ray Friesen, occasional guest of the show, are doing another Doctor-related podcast together because we can't get enough of each other and Doctor Who and podcasting.
We're playing an RPG Doctor Who.
A rocket-propelled grenade.
You would be shocked, absolutely shocked, to know what character I'm playing.
She's Sassy Robot.
And I'm a video store clerk from the 80s.
You're the companion.
Ray's the Doctor.
I'm the Doctor. I get to be quirky. When we finished recording the first episode of that podcast last week, and we turned it off and we're doing the post-show discussion, I'm like, so Ben, you have any notes? And I said, Ray, you were really quirky. ... But I get to be the Doctor and it's fun. My Doctor is coming out way more grumpy cranky than I was expecting because that's been really fun. It's kind of like improv, like Ben's written a story about the Doctor Who and then we're playing it and not doing any of the things he's expecting us to do. Just like the show.
And it's called The Game of Rassilon.
Let's petition Ben to bring Milo back.
Yes!
We'll make a list of references and stuff we want him to put in.
Beta would be Milo's friend, but Milo would hate Beta.
Because Beta's from the future.
Beta would have a cowboy hat. Beta has a backwards baseball hat in the drawing I did of them.
And a skateboard.
Duh. You can learn all about this on our other podcast, so stop listening.
Thanks for listening. If you liked the episode, check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. That helps us get into the search results and stuff.
It's amazing. Please do it.
Do it, Ray.
I haven't before.
Well, now's your chance. If you'd like to help us out even more, go to watchyourassalon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can just get to by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us watching the episodes, day early episodes, an uncut video of the podcast record.
I occasionally donate to that Patreon.
It's an on again off again sort of relationship. We've got like a real moonlighting thing going on.
Like Joey and Rachel.
That's a more recent reference. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us.
We'll mention like Lucky Charms!
We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on a Friends of Rassilon page.
Am I on that page?
Yes, you are on that page.
Sometimes.
Good. Sometimes. Glad my dollar is doing something.
Tune in next time when we talk about the War Games. The final one.
It's going to be emotional.
We have no guest plan for that one. It's just us finishing off two.
Will Tony be there?
Yeah, Tony will be there.
We'll see.
We'll see. It may just be me being sad.
You'll have to do Tony's voice.
Could you?
Could I?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Tony.
That was dead on.
Joe's prepping to do Tony's voice face was priceless. You need to make a gif of that. He was just preparing really hard. Hey, I'm Tony. Tony Beast. And King Pig.
Thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Tony and Joe, you are something or other. It's the end credits. I am Vincent E.L.
Bye.
We love you.
Mwah. Hope you get those feathers I mailed you. Send me your hair.
It's Liz 79. I can hear you, B-41. Go away. What?